Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. This will be our second message on God's will. God's will for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and under spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We talked about last week the ability to know God's will for our lives. And I said, as I said last week, God will not reveal to you any more than you're ready to submit to. And if you will not do the general will, and the things we're going to be looking at is the general will for all believers, and if you won't submit to God's general will for your life, why are you praying for Him to reveal some secret magic thing, some special calling in your life? Okay? You have to do, to Him to know, do good and doeth it not, to Him it is. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so we looked at last week, we looked at different things, the general will for God for all believers. The first one we looked at is to be not unequally yoked together with non-believers. And we spent time on that. Okay. Then we went to Ephesians. That was in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. And then we went to Ephesians chapter 1, and we read verses 3 through 6. And in verse 5, it tells us it's God's will for us to be accepted in the Beloved. And we spent time looking at that fact. When you do not feel accepted in a place, you need to know God accepts you. You're His child if you're born again. Now, when kids don't feel comfortable in their home, it's generally because they're trying to hide something. Okay? If it's because of an abusive parent, you need to know God will never be an abusive parent. He's a loving Heavenly Father. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. But it says, ye receive not chastening, then ye are bastards and not sons. But God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. And it's to help us. When you do not do that with a child, then that child has issues that come up. Because even a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. So we looked at that. The need of understanding to be accepted in the Beloved doesn't mean that God only gives you Fruit Loops and candy bars. All right? Some people who, well, God doesn't love me. I'm not getting what I want. Sometimes God loves you so much He won't let you have what you want. Amen? And so we spent time on that. And then we looked at Ephesians chapter 5. And read verses 17 through 21 and knowing God's will. And we talked about the need of submission. And again, when you know what His will is and you don't do it, is He going to bless it? Okay, yeah, I can remember, I hadn't been saved too long, and Pastor Christian was talking about this woman who was walking on her way, and she came to this crossroads. And if she went this way, she was going to a particular city. And if she went this way, she's going to a different city. And so this preacher came up and he saw her, and she kept throwing the stick up in the air, and it would come down and it would land. And then she'd pick it up and she'd throw it up in the air, and it'd come down and it would land. And then she'd pick it up and throw it up in the air, and down it would come and it would land. And he goes, "What are you doing, ma'am?" And she goes, "Well, I want God to show me the direction he wants me to go. So I throw the stick in the air and I'm going to go the way it points." And he goes, "But every time you've thrown it, it pointed to that way." She goes, "Yeah, but I don't want to go that way." So she's going to throw it till she does what? That's not what it means to be in submission to God's will. Okay? And you know what the hard thing is? Many times we don't want to do God's will because we get fearful. It's better to trust in the Lord and put confidence in man. Okay, and so that idea of being able to wait upon him. My dad was a good dad in many ways, a horrible dad. He was a horrible husband. He's in heaven now. He's got perfect understanding. He's a horrible husband, but he used to train in World War II. He trained Marines how to swim as they were going across the Pacific, headed over towards all those island battles. And he would teach them how to swim, and he'd be afraid because you know what U.S. Marines are? They are the Naval Amphibious Landing Force, okay? They're the fighting arm that goes from the water to the land. Marines were all supposed to know how to swim. Many of them enlisted during World War II, and they had no idea. And my father, because he was a lifeguard and he was a swimming instructor, and they found that out when he enlisted in World War II. So he was tasked with teaching them to swim as they went across the Pacific. And their Marines, they were traveling on a carrier. They had a bunch of them there and the destroyer stuff. And my father would take them, and they'd go, "I don't," and he'd get them on the deck, and he'd make them, "Now pretend you're a dog. You know, just, oh, I can't do that." And he tried to teach them swimming in different ways, and he'd get tired of it after a while. He says, "You've got to trust yourself." And they'd go, "But I'm afraid." So he'd throw them off the side of the boat. He'd throw them in. They would go down, pop up, spluttering and choking, and he'd be in the water next to them, jumping right then. And he'd be kicking his feet, and he'd have his arms up underneath their chest, and he says, "I got you. Now kick your feet and cup your hands." He's going to teach them doggy paddle. He's not going to teach them to do the Australian crawl or the scissors kick or the breaststroke. He just had to save their lives. Because many times the landing gear, the landing boats, the LSTs, to keep from being killed, they'd have to jump over the side because the Japanese would aim the machine gun right into the center of it and they'd be in deep water. They got to get to shore. So you teach them what they need to do to get to where they need to be. And many times, we don't understand it. But God will sometimes put you in circumstances and you need to realize, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And until you get that, you won't grow in faith. Because you'll spend all your time with the what if. We've all done the what ifs, haven't we? At some point, what if? Learning to submit to what God says will then put you in a place where when God brings you that through that submission, you can then depend on him for the next step in your faith will grow. Sometimes he's going to throw you off the fantail of the boat, but he's going to be right there. "My sheep hear my voice. I give unto them eternal life. No man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And we spent time looking at that ideal, the need of submission. Okay? And like I said, that was Ephesians 5, verses 17 through 21. Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It's going to continue with it. One is knowing God's will, submitting, because the wives are supposed to submit to their own husbands. The husbands are supposed to submit unto the Lord. Okay, and the husband's supposed to put the wife first. You know, in a good marriage, the husband puts God first, then he puts his wife second, and he puts himself third. In a good marriage, the wife puts God first, the husband second, and herself third. That's the way God wants that to be. When it's not that way, when I make it about me, then I'm removing myself from that place of God's will and the blessing that can be there. Okay? So now, in Ephesians chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, you want to know the general will of the Lord? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live how? That's a promise in the Old Testament, it's a promise in the New Testament. You want to live longer, young person? Honor your parents. Didn't say if you think they deserve to be honored, if that's what you want to do, or it's hard to do, it said do it. And you're going to live longer. General will of God for young people. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See where the responsibility is there? The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, obey them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto the Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing what? From where? With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. That idea of obeying God from the heart. Love is a choice. The emotions follow the choice. God's love is a choice. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And he chose to love us. Do we choose to love him? It says, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, the heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, try the heart. Okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is. See, so you got to watch that with God from the heart. Now, I want you to turn to Galatians, because it says here, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I've told people many, many times, people come for counseling. I counsel a lot of couples. And I say, you've got to love them. Well, I don't love them anymore. No, I didn't talk about your emotions. I'm talking about your choice. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts will be established. You got to choose to love them. You make it a matter of the heart. You know, forgiveness is not a head issue, it's a heart issue. And we have to be able to forgive each other, because the only one who will not let you down, sometimes you think he is because you don't understand, but you got to remember, rule number one, God is always good, God is always right. He won't let you down. He'll do what is best to bring him glory and what's best ultimately for you. But other than that, we let each other down, don't we? If you can't have forgiveness, you will not understand how to reach and love. Not with eye servants as men pleasers, but servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Okay, go to Galatians. We'll come back here, but go to Galatians chapter 6. I want you to see something a little bit different than what we're thinking, because, you know, when we quote a verse out of Galatians chapter 6, and normally it's because you're going to have problems. You're doing the wrong thing. Right? Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, so shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. And we spend time saying, I tell people time, I don't want to be right. Pastor Kinney will say, I don't want to be right, but God's word says this, and if you don't submit to God's word, this is where it's going to head. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, so the flesh you reap. But the other half of that verse says, but if you sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit you shall what? Look what follows that. And reaping of the Spirit, life everlasting, it says, and let us not be weary in what? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to who? Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Well, that's the wrong dispensations, brother. Oh, nuts. It may not be all to me, but it's all for me, man. Hebrews chapter 6. Look at verse 10. For God is not what? To forget your what? Work and labor of what? Love. Which you've showed toward who? And how did you show it towards his name? To minister to the saints and do minister. Do you see that? That's obeying God from the heart. You're serving other people and that's showing your love to God. Perfect love casteth out fear because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. See, perfect love casteth out fear. Okay, now go to 1 Thessalonians. If I can read my writing. Chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I just want you to understand something here. Obeying God from the heart. When he asks you tonight, where is your heart? Because you know what he tells us to do? We're not to be servants with lip service as men pleasers. Okay? 1 Thessalonians, this is what he said. Do you realize the church in Thessalonica? There's churches that Paul spent 2 years helping get established and developed. Now, my Bible scholars, how long did he spend in Thessalonica? Two weeks. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. See, yeah, Paul's a southern preacher. For y'all. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your what? Work of faith. This is one of those three things I tell the preachers to look for many times. Without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Can you see that? Their work of faith, their labor of love. You will do more for love than you ever will do by commandment. You will do more for love than you will ever do out of sense of duty. And it's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. And it's only accomplished when he has your heart. What's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love choice. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A little bit of testimony was given of that. James was talking about how many churches, how many people. You turn around, you're headed down to something, you got to go to, you're supposed to be someplace, and you break down. The next thing you know, somebody's showing up with a vehicle for you to use and a trailer to tow you back. That's Emmanuel. Do you understand that? Give me time, I can give you a listing. Pastor, can he give you a listing? People reaching out. You're showing your obedience from the heart in the loving of the brethren. You know what that becomes? It becomes contagious. Now, all you have to do with that is learn to accept that love. We love him because he... A lot of people like to do it. They don't like to accept it. Well, you want to obey God from the heart? Many times, someone goes to help you. Don't steal their blessing. Because didn't he say in the passage we read that he was going to what? Reward you for that labor of love. The world sees that difference and they want some of it. And a person who will love the brethren the way God tells them to love them will also love the lost the way God tells them to love them. Because many, 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 many years ago, the first time I ever went to go preach in a foreign land, and Stephen Dawn went with us, Judy and I. And I do not like confusion. International travel is confusion. Ask Pastor Kenny, it is confusion. What gate? Then they changed the gate. And what, you know, this changes, that changes. And it was, and I can still remember, you know, Steve is about as laid back and relaxing as it can be. And he's just enjoying and looking at everything. And Judy, she's always on Hawaii time. When she goes, leave, she goes, I'm not late and I'm not lost. We'll get there eventually. But Dawn and I were popping Nutricoms, saying, it's not about me. I'm not going to kill them. It's not about me. And I had to learn a long time ago, if I'm going to obey God from the heart, you know who it's not about? It's not about me. And he tells them in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, beloved, your election of God. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.